Hello, and welcome to Speaking of College of Charleston. I'm Mike Robertson, Senior Director of Media Relations here at the College. Today, we're going to take a look at the 15th anniversary of the College of Charleston's signature political communication program, the Bully Pulpit Series. My guests are communication professor Amanda Ruth McSwain and political science professor and dean of the School of Humanities and Social Sciences, Gibbs Knotts. Let's get started. On October 3rd, 2007, the College of Charleston started a brand new political communication lecture series called the Bully Pulpit Series. The goal was to have national politicians running for president come to the College of Charleston and speak to students about politics and how they plan to communicate to the public if they are elected president of the United States. The first speaker on this series was Arizona Senator John McCain. On that day, he spoke to the crowd of students about his ideas, his take on current events, and he also reminisced about his last visit to the College of Charleston several years earlier.
And by the way, I mentioned the great rally we had here at the College of Charleston. After I lost in the primary to then Governor Bush, I slept like a baby. Sleep 2 hours, wake up and cry. Sleep 2 hours, wake up and cry.
And since then, the series has grown into a signature program for the College of Charleston. Over 32 presidential candidates have come to the College of Charleston to participate in this series over the past 15 years. It has become so popular that NPR's national political correspondent, Don Gagne, wrote that if you're planning to campaign in South Carolina, there are three places you need to go. First, you need to visit a local church and speak to the congregation. Second, you need to visit a family restaurant called Lizard's Thicket. And the third one, you need to speak at the College of Charleston. Joining me to talk more about this 15th anniversary of the Bully Pulpit series are two people very instrumental in the success of this series. Amanda Ruth McSwain is a communication professor and served as the director of the Bully Pulpit series from 2011 till 2021. And Gibbs Knotts is a professor of political science and dean of the School of Humanities and Social Sciences. He also serves as the moderator for the Bully Pulpit events. Gibbs, let's start with you. Why is this series so popular with politicians?
Oh, because of the South Carolina primary. I mean, basically on the Republican side, if you have any want to have any chance of getting the nomination, you've got to win in South Carolina. The only time South Carolina voters have gotten it wrong is in 2012, when they went for Newt Gingrich and Mitt Romney got the nomination. And so you got to come to South Carolina. And they know, candidates know, when they come to the College of Charleston, they're going to be treated fairly. We're going to have a good crowd. And they're going to get a chance to talk with young voters. And just like advertisers want young people to buy their products, voters want young people to vote for them because, you know, it can become a habit. And if they can, you know, get somebody to be on their side when they're younger, they can vote for them in subsequent elections and then sort of, you know, stick with that party throughout their life. And so it's just a really attractive place for candidates to come. And we're extremely excited when they do come to our campus.
Now, of course, politicians aren't the only ones benefiting from this. Amanda, you've worked with students, College of Charleston students. Tell me how they play into this.
So early on, I realized there was great opportunity for students to be involved behind the scenes. And so that's everything from campaign relations to event management to media relations work. And although it's evolved over the years and how those students are included in the events, they've always been a really instrumental part in each and every one of the Bully Pulpit Series opportunities.
Like I said, 32 politicians so far have participated in the Bully Pulpit Series. The events have ranged from very small, intimate gatherings to huge events, attracting thousands of people. One of the most memorable programs happened on Sistrin Yard when a senator from Illinois stopped by to participate in the series.
That we are one people, we are one nation, and together we will begin the next great chapter in America's story with three words that will ring from coast to coast, from sea to shining sea. Yes, we can. Thank you, College of Charleston. Thank you, South Carolina. Thank you, John Kerry.
Amanda, you were there. Tell us about it. What happened?
The energy was incredible. I think it was a defining moment when I realized I couldn't get to my office because of Secret Service. They're like, I don't care who you are. I don't care where you're going. You're not crossing this line. But later that afternoon when the event actually happened, I think, you know, it not only put the College of Charleston on the map in terms of who we are and how much we care about not only kind of our local area, but the state and, you know, politics and how it impacts college campus. But it was also a moment that, you know, it gave us such pride that, you know, this up and coming, you know, politician would come and spend time with us. And so it was pretty wild. I was only in my third year at College of Charleston, but it was definitely such an honor to be part of it, even just as a participant.
You know, politicians aren't the only ones attracted to the Bully Pulpit series. Over the past 15 years, the series has attracted a lot of media attention for the College of Charleston. This includes CNN, when Aaron Burnett and Anderson Cooper both hosted their programs live on campus. Fox News held a town hall meeting in Satilli Theater. Politico had a forum on campus. And NBC News had several reporters broadcasting live from Siston Yard on various occasions. But when it comes to media coverage, one event stood out.
And on the eve of tomorrow's primary, the College of Charleston was the scene of a big political rally today, and the draw was not one of the candidates we've been hearing about. It was Comedy Central's Stephen Colbert. NPR's Don Gagne was there.
The crowd topped 3,000, nearly all students, in the outdoor square, and right on time, 1 p.m., a marching band entered, clearing a path for Stephen Colbert. On stage, a gospel choir, Colbert sang harmony.
Stephen Colbert was the host of the Comedy Central program, The Colbert Report, and he decided to run for president. Well, kind of.
It's good to be back home! Whoever said you can't go home again did not have a friend with a private jet. It was easy. Before we begin, I want to take a moment to thank everybody who made this day possible. I want to thank the College of Charleston so graciously inviting us in. And how about those College of Charleston cheerleaders and the Cougarettes? And of course, the College of Charleston Pep Band and the Coastal Carolina Marching Band. Folks, if these two bitter rivals can share the same stage, then there is hope that America can come together. Most importantly, ladies and gentlemen, and I mean this sincerely, I want to thank Stephen Colbert. You're welcome. Somebody had to say it, and I'm the one at the mic.
Now, I remember I was sitting in the press stands during this event, and about 50 different news organizations from all around the world were covering this event. And at one time, a reporter who worked for a German newspaper came up to me and said, "Who is Stephen Colbert and why is he here?" I couldn't come up with a good answer. Tell me your thoughts.
Oh, goodness. I mean, I think that obviously the Colbert family has a long history in Charleston, and obviously coming home was truly coming home for him. So that was exciting. But to be honest with you, where the idea came from, I'm not sure, but I will tell you it was a quick idea. It was a Monday afternoon. I was leaving campus and picked up the phone, and it was Comedy Central and some of his staff at Comedy Central calling to tell me what the idea was. And again, Monday afternoon, and at the end of the call, they said, "Oh, by the way, we want to do this Thursday." And I was like, I'm sorry, did you just say cheerleaders and a pep band and a gospel choir and a stage? And so it was a lot. What a lot of people don't remember is we were also working on a really big event with Ron Paul that same week. And so it was really kind of two very large, very different competing events to coordinate at one time. But it was, I mean, just I had goosebumps listening to that clip because it was one of the most just enjoyable and I think satisfying, for lack of a better word, moments in the Bully Pulpit series for me, of pulling something like that off where we were exposing students to a very different side of politics, right? But nonetheless, we were getting them involved in the conversation.
You know, we had a lot of people come to the College of Charleston, campaigns coming to the College of Charleston during that period of time, but everyone dwarfed compared to this this rally by Stephen Colbert. Does that surprise you that he would outshine some politicians?
I don't think so. I mean, just the sort of draw of celebrity in this day and age is, and it's only probably gotten more so with social media and things like that. But, you know, he's definitely a beloved Charlestonian and somebody that a lot of people get a big kick out of. And he's obviously, you know, gone on to even, you know, bigger and better things, hosting his own late night show kind of after his Comedy Central days. And so, yeah, that's not surprising at all. But again, it's getting, as Dr. Ruth McShane said, it's getting people in the conversation. It's having them think about politics, drawing some people in that may normally not listen to this stuff. That's a really important role that that events like that can play.
All right. Story time. 15 years of the Bully Pulpit series. So we're bound to have some memories that you remember. Amanda, we'll start with you.
There's honestly so many. It's hard to, every single event had something that was either eye-opening or silly or unbelievable. I learned so much about each candidate by working with their staff and obviously their campaigns. So that behind the scenes glimpse was always enlightening. But you know, I will have to say, I think it was that 2012 year. That was my first big season. And, you know, whether, again, it was a Ron Paul event or, you know, or obviously the Colbert event and so many other smaller events that year, it was just a learning experience. And I'm not necessarily one that would consider myself a political expert by any means, but I learned a lot about politics and how important the landscape is in South Carolina in particular. So I would say probably Colbert is up there with a favorite memory. But we also we did a lot of work with Ted Cruz one year, and there were some really interesting memories that come from that. But whether it was Colbert or an actual, you know, political campaign or a media, a media event, there was something that I definitely walked away with each. And that was, you know, whether I was kind of lugging carpets across campus to make sure we had the best carpet on stage for a broadcast, or I was making sure, you know, every green room was staffed, you know, with exactly the candidates' needs. You know, there was, again, always something new and different to learn.
Now chances are you've heard of these politicians before they came here. You've probably read up on them, and so you know about them. But were there, without naming names, were there some politicians where you finally met them, you said, yeah, okay, this guy needs some work? And were there others that you said, oh my gosh, this guy is, or this candidate is amazing?
Yes. I mean, I will not name names, but there were so many. I would have to say, for whatever reason, I always felt like the underdog. I always pulled at my heartstrings. They were always so nice, so kind, so appreciative, stayed around to chat, got their guitars out to play on stage. You know, I mean, there were those real moments of like, this person belongs here in this community, right? They want to be here. They want to talk to us. And so I understand the difference between, you know, the smaller campaigns that are a lot more nimble, flexible, and then the large campaigns that travel with large staffs. And you have to be really careful about what you do and who's involved. But, you know, they're definitely, I feel like I could write a book about understanding the personality of the candidates just through those events.
And Gibbs, you have the unique opportunity to talk to them prior to them going on stage, since you're the moderator. Are there some politicians you've talked to that you've same thing? Wow, this person's really good. This one, or this one really needs a little bit more work.
Sure, I want to name names. I guess, yeah. I'm not allowed to name names. So yeah, I mean, so you know, if you go out and on the internet and read about Senator Amy Klobuchar, there's, you know, some people say she could be hard to work with. You probably can find that article about any person in politics today. And so I wasn't really sure. And she could not have been nicer. She brought me a gift bag with her book. I think she brought President Hsu a gift bag, a T-shirt, Amy for President, that I still wear, and people look at me like, Amy, who's Amy? Amy ran for president. But I got to sit on stage with her, have a conversation with her. She was great. And as Dr. Ruth McShane said, it's, you know, she was a smaller operation. She wasn't one of the front runners. And so she had a lunch with a group of students afterwards, if I'm not mistaken. And so there just was a lot. They were a lot more generous with their time than just coming in and kind of coming out. I mean, I think about the Beto O'Rourke event. Another thing that Amanda said was that, you know, we would get an agreement with like the local person or the state person, and then all of a sudden the national people would show up and our plans would just get completely blown up. And so we had all our signage up. We had our sound where it needed to be, and then the national people get there and they decide he needs to stand on a pallet, kind of very in the middle, and do it in the round, which screwed everything up. We could barely hear him, so he shows up. He always drove a minivan too. I don't know why Beto was a minivan guy. Maybe that was his brand or something like that. So he shows up, and then we just scrambled to get the setup to look like what the Beto team wanted to do. And it ended up being a fun event. It was in Stern Center Garden, behind the Stern Center. But yeah, just one of those ones where you never know what to expect. And then you also, just another key point is that we don't have a lot of lead time. I mean, these campaigns don't plan a long time in advance. And so if we have 2 weeks, we're lucky. But generally, and then as you get closer to the primary, it just gets more hectic as more and more candidates focus on South Carolina.
Okay, let's do a quiz, even though I think we already have the answer to that. What presidential candidate arrived at the bully pulpit event armed with a guitar and actually played a song?
We want something more, not just hashtag and Twitter. It's the meaning of life. And it streams live on YouTube, but I bet Gangnam Style still...
All right, that's not a great recording. I get that. He moved to the edge of the stage, and I actually recorded that while I was working with the media on that one and played it. So... I think
I
you guys
prefer to give.
Okay, give.
So I think it's Martin O'Malley, but I could
yes.
be wrong.
Very good. Yes, Martin O'Malley. I have no idea what that song is.
Yeah.
It was one of that he just, I guess, sang at different events while he was.
It didn't work. He's he didn't get a lot of votes, but yeah, he did. He was the candidate with the guitar.
His daughter went here, right?
That's right. I believe so.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Okay, let's talk about the future of the Bully Pulpit series here. Gibbs, we're seeing a lot of changes in campaigning. We're seeing candidates really just talking to preferred tight groups, people who are likely their supporters. Is that going to hurt a series like the Bully Pulpit?
I'm a little concerned. I mean, we've invited, as we do every year, we've sent invitations out to every presidential candidate running for every, you know, whether on the Democrat or Republican side. But I think there's some dynamics in the Democratic Party, I mean, the Republican Party right now, that give me a little bit of concern. Number one, Trump has such a big lead. And I think a lot of these candidates are feeling like if they don't somehow get to him in Iowa, then there's going to be no South Carolina. So people are spending a ton of time in Iowa, which is before us on the Republican side. But look, you hit the nail on the head. We have to get people who don't agree with candidates to don't agree with that disagree on political issues in the same room talking to each other. Our democracy depends on it. In some ways, our civilization depends on it. And so we can certainly play a big role. You know, we don't want anybody to shout down a candidate. If we invite a candidate here, we want the candidate to be able to, you know, give his or her answers to questions. But we also want our students to ask really hard, challenging questions. And so, I think there's a long time. But if you're out there, if there's any Republican candidates listening to this podcast, come to College of Charleston. We will make sure you have a full room, and we will make sure it's a great event.
Amanda, same question. What do you think we can do?
You know, I think that we continue to be a really welcoming host, you know, and we recognize that not only hopefully are we providing value to that candidate by putting them in front of an audience that's engaged and active and interested, but that it's also really beneficial for our students. And I think as long as we keep our eye on the reason why this series has been so valuable in the past, I'm hoping that that message kind of break through the clutter and is still convincing that, you know, this is a student audience that wants to hear from you because they're trying to make really informed decisions, right? I do think for the Bully Pulpit series in general, you know, just having to adapt and evolve with, you know, what we're seeing in terms of campaign events. You know, sometimes we don't have as much control as we would like, but still, again, keeping our eye on the mission and what's important is critical.
Amanda, Gibbs, thanks for the conversation.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Speaking of College of Charleston with today's guest, Amanda Ruth McSwain and Gibbs Knotts. For show notes and more episodes, you can visit the College of Charleston's official news site, The College Today, at today.cfc.edu. You can also find more College of Charleston podcast episodes on all major podcast platforms. I'm Mike Robertson. Thank you for listening to Speaking of College of Charleston,